this is the third one. So the manager took off from me $10 a week, and I used to make $25 a week. So from the $25, I had $5 for car fare and lunch, and $10 for the saving, and $10 the saving went for her room and board. She stayed in the Busey Hall, so I paid $40 a month. So I had enough, $40 a month for the $10 that they took off. And the $10 that I had yet, I had money yet to give her a little spending money, to buy some clothes for her. And she didn't demand very much. She was a good girl. So I had enough yet for me. And I used to buy groceries to the house. And my husband was saving the money. His money he saved for, he helped the boy support and for the house. He paid rent and everything else, insurance.
Laurie, I remember you saying, like, after the strike and before you got married and left the union and stuff, you got pretty active in the Socialist Party. And I thought that you mentioned that Saul was active with the anarchists. Was that right?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you. At that time, in the 1900s, in the 1800s, there was a big movement of anarchists. The unions were controlled by the anarchists. In fact, the Haymarket riot it wasn't that the anarchists did kill. They were nice people, but the policy of the anarchists, they don't believe in the government. They live of actions, they believe. A lot of them proved that they were not guilty. The governor pardoned them from the Haymarket riot, some of them. And my husband was sympathizing with the anarchists, but he didn't belong to the party. There was Emma Goldman at that time. You heard, I suppose. There was Alexander Berkman. They were agitators in the anarchist party. At that time, Margaret Sanger came out with her birth control at that time. And he used to go to the lectures. Those are the lectures that he used to attend. Emma Goldman, Alexander Berkman, Margaret Sanger's. But he didn't belong to a party. He used to take me alone sometimes. But and once in shop I worked in Barnes, we had an anarchist, a man, that he tried to convert me as an anarchist. But I couldn't see, being an anarchist. I didn't believe in their movement. They had a different life they had. They were free. They had a different life, and I didn't like a life like that.
Did you and Saul talk a lot about politics when you were first married?
No, not when we were first married, later. And as far as the Socialist Party, the union, they were all the socialists. They were the one to found socialism. But right after the revolution, one of our managers, Sam Levine, and many others went to Russia. Sidney Hillman went to Russia to see, and they were going to establish tailor shops there and everything else. They were much in favor of socialism. So we were taught to, when it came election, there were Rodriguez, who were a socialist, running on a socialist ticket in the 15th ward for alderman. We were told to vote for him. And many other people, we were told to vote for them. So we voted for them. But I didn't belong to the party.
You said that you used to leaflet and things like that for them. Did you do that after you were married, or did you pretty much stop doing that?
That was before I was married. I helped to distribute leaflets for Rodriguez to be elected, and I went to the polls. I went before I was married.
But after you were married, you didn't do any of those things?
I did later for the Democratic Party. I did for Puchinsky, I did for others, I did. Later, after I came and was back in the industry,
but
I worked for the Democratic Party.
Did you not do political work when you got married because you were too busy, or because Saul didn't want you to, or why?
No, we were not involved in any political way at that time. Saul used to go to the meetings. We belonged to a fraternal organization, which was a Jewish organization. And right after the revolution, there were a lot of people that didn't agree with this. There were Mensheviks and communists and so on, Bolsheviks at that time. And they spoke out to meetings and they expelled them from them. And my husband was one of them to be expelled because he thought that we are not doing enough here for the people, for the poor people, for the working people. And that's all. And there wasn't in any party, he wasn't in. And I wasn't in any party except in the union. And I was also in the workman's circle, they used to call it. That was more of a socialist organization.
It was called the
Workman's Circle. It's still existing, but not as much as it was.
That was in the union, or that was out?
Well, that was out of the union, but a lot of people from the union belonged to the Workman's Circle. In and out, too, a lot of people belonged to the Workman's Circle. But it isn't so. It was a fraternal organization. It was a very nice organization. They had schools. But I didn't attend to anything. I was married. I had my children to care. In fact, those few years that I stayed home, I was nothing. In the workman's circle, when my husband had a parties there, meetings, I used to go with him in the workman's circle. That's all.
Were you satisfied that you had dropped all those things?
I didn't work, and I had children, and I wanted to, and there were no babysitters at that time. I got busy later when I got in the orchestra. I studied music, so I got busy. That I was happy with that. I was very happy with that. And we had rehearsals, and I went for music lessons, and we had parties, and we had concerts in the Orchestra Hall and the 8th Street Theater and the Kimball Hall, and we played in Milwaukee. I was happy with that. For many, many years, I was very happy I was involved in this organization.
Lottie, you...
Mother Jones was the organizer. She came from Ireland. She was born in Ireland. And she was also a tailor. And she worked in the ladies' garment workers, I believe. But when she got older, she threw herself in labor. One thing that she used to brag about this all the time. She used to go, most of the time she lived with the miners are, where the miners are, and miners, cities, towns, where they are over there. She is one responsible to organize the miners. And she lived with them, and she ran from to lecture all over. We in the Amalgamated had her too. She lectured for everybody. She was a cute little old lady, gray-headed. Was to a lecture, and she heard a professor talk to the lecture in a city somewhere, and he said he mentioned Mother Jones' name, and that she's a woman in her age, and she's going around in countries and she's raising money and everything else. So she interrupted them in the middle of the story. She, in the middle of the lecture, she said, "Pardon me, please. I am not a fundraiser. I am a hellraiser." That was the cutest thing, and she used to repeat this every time when she came somewhere. She used to repeat this here. And then another thing she told us, when she got to the mines, coal mines or all kind of mines there, she organized the women how to live. she wanted the women to be on the picket line when the husbands were striking. But and a lot of outside people were also coming on the picket line. So she didn't want them. She wanted them people to know who are miners' wives and children and who are outsiders. So she made bonnets for the miners' women all the time. And and that's how they could tell how many outside people could were on the picket line and how many miners' wives were the children on the picket line. And that was so cute. She used to always tell us all the time how she worked with them. She worked with everybody so nice, and she was such a lovable woman. She was such a lovable woman.
Did she come into the union to speak to you? Is that how you met her?
I met her in two organizations. She was for the Amalgamated too, she spoke. In the big strike, she spoke in the Amalgamated too. Yeah. But the...
That wasn't the 1915 strike, was it?
That was later, I think it was. But she used to come to any strike when the dressmakers had a strike, or furriers had a strike, or whoever had a strike. She used to come and talk. And I used to say, we used to read the Jewish paper and see whoever came in from prominent people to talk, and we used to go. We used to go to hear her talk. In the hall house, she used to come into the hall house. I think she was in 1915 by us too, I think. To Sacco Vanzetti trials, when we had demonstrations, she used to come in.
You were at those demonstrations?
I was at the demonstration here. I was Sacco Vanzetti. And when we had a few senators, socialist senators, put in jail. And right after the revolution, they were socialists. We had lectures. I was to one of the to a group of fellows in court, but I don't remember who it was. I was in court. I remember I was in court to a few of our the Milwaukee people. There were a few Milwaukee people who were arrested. A senator, a congressman, Bert. He was a socialist. Bert. He was a socialist, and he was arrested. During the war. During the war it was. He was arrested. A priest was arrested. St. John Tucker. He was a socialist. We had a few of them that were arrested at that time. During the war, they were against the war. My husband alone was too against the war because he was a conscientious objector.
So during the war, were you doing a lot of...
No, I didn't do anything. I had children at that time. I took care of my children. First war, second war. I had my children. I didn't do anything. But we used to go to the lectures. Through that organization, to the Workman's Circle, we used to go to those lectures all the time. And we used to see in the paper, we used to go to those lectures. We had prominent people that used to come and lecture for us. A lot of professors from the Chicago University. Chicago University, I think, was built in the early 20s. Chicago University. And we had a lot of people from the Chicago University come into the Hall House, lecture for us. I was coming into the Hall House too. Before I was married, I came into the Hall House. And after I was married, I used to come in, not too often I used to come in. But the last time I was away from the Hall House for a long, long time. And then in 61 I traveled, I was in Europe. In 62, I came back from Europe. Oh, it was in 62, yeah. I was a student in the YMCA. And I had an English teacher. Well, I was not her student. She had a friend of Angelina that lived in my building. And I used to go with Angelina to school. And she, this year, Mrs. Wolf was her name. She was a conversational teacher in the YMCA. So Angelina said, let's go in and see, what was her first name? I can't think of it. Now I see her in the temple over here. I talked to her, when was I there? Friday night I talked to her. So she said, let's go in to see Wolf. Later we became good friends with the Wolf and Angelina. Angelina died. So Mrs. Wolf, she thought that I was a student. I used to come into her every now and then. So she had a lot of immigrant students. And I didn't need that, but I used to come in and sit down and listen to it anyways to fill, help her fill out the room, because she didn't have too many students. So she took us to the whole house to show the whole house how the whole house, the old whole house here, when it was there, where it's now the circle. And when I came in, I saw Hilma's picture in the room where she was talking to the people. She took a lot of people to the whole house. And I said, I feel myself like at home in this here room. First of all, I saw Sidney Hillman on the picture, great big painted picture, Sidney Hillman. And Sidney Hillman was almost there every day. He was friends with Jane Addams, and he learned a lot in the whole house, and the whole house helped them a lot, and they helped the 1915 strike and 1910 strike. They helped the whole house at that time. Miss Jane Addams was only about 10 years in the whole house when she helped the 1910 strike. They had a bitter strike. But the 1915, they were out of the way, helped us an awful lot. It was her, and it was the Abbott sisters, and it was Ellen Gage Starr. Ellen Gage Starr went to school with Jane Addams.
What did they do specifically? Did they get community support for you, or did they picket with you, or what?
They picketed it with me, because they kept on arresting me. They didn't leave me to the place to come into picket.
Did Jane Addams herself come?
No, not Jane Addams, but Ellen Gage Starr went with me, and many other women went with me. There was one on Mrs. Lilly. She was the daughter of, McCormick's the daughter she was. And there were Abbott sisters, and they were... there were an awful lot of from the whole house. Every day I had a different one go with me picketing, every day. And Jane Addams was there at that time when she came to the Union, I think, to the whole house, she was 35 years old. When she came, she was about in the early 30s. Because she dropped out from school. She was going to be a doctor. She was going to medical school, and she took sick. And then she used to tell us two of those stories all the time. And the whole house was open, I think, in 1891 was the whole house open, I think. And she was good. She took care of the whole house with the others. So when I came with Mrs. Wolf, I took her around to show the rooms where I used to have coffee, where I used to come in and learn things and listen to lectures. I was the one to show her all over where to go around in the whole house.
That's really something.
Jane Addams came in there to Chicago. Well, when she dropped out of school, she traveled a lot. She went to England and all over. And then she saw a lot of poverty in England. And that's what her, with Ellen Gates Starr, they were two girlfriends, and they made up their mind to settle somewhere and do for poor people. So they came to Chicago. And Chicago, the whole history was stores, and a lot of prostitutions were over there, all the way on Halsey Street, and put all kind of stores there, and it was a very poor neighborhood, and there were homes, a few homes, most of them were Italian people lived there, and Bohemian people, but the Bohemian people lived, and I remember I used to go to a temple they had on Halsted and 14th Street, they had a Jewish temple, a Bohemian Jewish temple, from the Bohemian people. They came from Czechoslovakia, but they were Bohemian people, but they were Jewish descent. And they used to come to the whole house. They talked German, and a lot of Italian people. And the Italian people were very, to say, they ignorant. They couldn't talk and they couldn't read, and she fitted in just perfect over there. She first of all she got one house, and it was given to her the house this year by some societies was given to her that house, but she needed more homes, and she got the. By the time she was through, she had 13 homes, all the way from Halsted, all the way west of Halsted. She had 13 homes, and she had a music house, and then a recreation room, a pool, and she had art class, she had a cooking class. I'll tell you how she had a cooking class. Once a young woman came to her, crying. And she took her in the whole house, and she said to her, "What are you, honey, crying?" She said, "I'm married 2 years, and my husband is leaving me." And she said, "Why is he leaving you?" And she said, "You know, she used to tell us all the things like this year that she sometimes she could remember. A lot of things I don't remember, a lot of things I do remember." And she said, "Well, he doesn't like my cooking." So it gave her the idea to open a cooking school. And she opened a cooking school, and this woman became a student in her cooking school. And after she learned a certain time she was with her, she came with her husband to join the social class. And she came into her and she said, "I'm the happiest woman in the world right now. I cook, and my husband loves my cooking. Whatever I cook, he likes it. Whatever I cook, he likes it." And so it gave her an idea to open a cooking school. And that's how, like me, us, we were strikers. So she opened a reading class, and it called a women's educational group. We were a woman, and we used to get people from the Chicago University to lecture by us. And that's how she, a gobbler. They learned them how to fix shoes. That's why we had a lot of shoemakers, Italian people. We had shoemakers. We had a lot of people, shoe shiners, Italian people. The streets were dirty. So she came on the idea that they need street cleaners. And she declared or proposed to the legislature or whatever it was, they should hire street cleaners. And a lot of Italian people became street cleaners. I had a girlfriend, an Italian girl that I worked in Hard Shepherds with, that she had, her father was a street cleaner. And she had a sister, was a school teacher, a sister worked in the office. And this year, Mildred worked with me in the tailor shop. And her father was a street cleaner, and the mother, they had a home of their own, they lived in Austin, and the mother had a garden, and she used to cook, and make jelly. In fact, I used to come every now and then to her. She would give me homemade bread, the mother, and she would give me jelly she would make and give me home a jar of jelly, and she would give me a couple of tomatoes home, the mother. You see, the next generation, the parents didn't want already hard workers. They tried to educate them. Like I, when during my time, when I worked, most of the Jewish people wanted to have their children higher education. The Italian, some of them send them to college, they high school graduate, college graduate, and some of them brought them in the tailor shop, like Rose. Rose is a product from the tailor shop. Her parents brought her in the tailor shop. The brothers, the sisters, they all work. And Marie, too. They all work in the tailor shop. So they, and by us, my aunt already was smart. She carried bundles and she even made cooked for everybody to have a summer lawyer. She had a summer lawyer, a principal. You see, Jewish people went for education more than the other. Polish people, too, brought their children in to the shop. Polish, Bohemian people brought their children to the shop. Very few people wanted to have their children to be educated. Another thing, most of the Italian people, they would retire, and the children that worked would bring them home the money. Is it right? Somebody else mentioned that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Mary mentioned it, Marie?
Mm-hmm.
The father used to sit and smoke a pipe, and the mother was busy in the kitchen, and the children were working and bringing home the money to the father and the mother. With the money they bought a home. The first thing was of theirs to buy a home. Jewish people didn't go for a home. Jewish people, when they had a lot of money, they wanted the educated people, and they liked fur coats, and they liked the diamonds, and they liked to go on vacation. And the Italian people, almost every one of them has a home, and a summer home too. Rose still got a summer home, I think. Rose with her sister. Because the parents had a summer home somewhere. Many, many people. Summer homes in Lake Geneva. Beautiful homes.